Welcome.
Oh, welcome indeed, everyone, to Tommy's Holiday Camp. Every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. from glorious downtown Occident. So, as promised, I do have Marilyn O'Malley in the studio. She is a fine Celtic singer-songwriter from Oregon. Hello.
I'm actually from Klickitat County, Washington.
Oh, a bit further north.
Yeah, a bit further north, but it's on the Columbia River. And actually, Klickitat County has more horses than people, and I live in a rural community called High Prairie.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Now, Kelty, obviously you've got a head start with the name O'Malley. Obviously that gives you a good start. But what got you into Celtic music?
Well, I did grow up with some of it in my house. My mother was not Irish, and she would tell me that my father was full of beans for telling me that I was Irish, and he told me that Irish genes were dominant, and so hers didn't count.
So. Can you hear okay?
I was hearing okay. Now I am.
Some are a bit. Some of them are a little bit wheezy. Some of the headphones, I think, over there.
Sure.
And with us also is Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hello.
And Adrian recommended Marilyn to come on in, and very grateful for him. We love live music on Cows Radio, and especially folk music.
Adrian and I have been friends since I was 14 and he was 15, and we won't tell you how many years ago that was.
You're still teenagers, so it's just a couple of years ago.
We think we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like you've got your fingers on the guitar,
and you may
want to give us a little sample of what you do.
Since we were talking about my last name, this song has my last name in it, but unfortunately it's not about me, but it's called Bridget O'Malley. It's very, very sad, but I like it because I think it kind of epitomizes the Irish capacity to wallow in sorrow and kind of flush it on out, you know? It's called Bridget O'Malley.
Okay.
Bridget O'Malley, you have my heart shaken with a hopeless desolation. I'll have you to know, it's the wonders of admiration your quiet face has taken, and your beauty will haunt me wherever I go. Above the pale sands, the pale stars above the thorn tree are cold beside my darling, but no purer than she. I gaze upon the cold moon to the stars drowned in the warm sea, and the bright eyes of my darling are never on me. My Sunday is weary, my Sunday it is gray now, my heart it is a cold thing, my heart is a stone. All joy is dead in me, my life is gone away now. Another has taken my love for his own.
mention when we were to be married, and it's rather I would die than live only to grieve. Will Almeria, my darling, ere the sun sets o'er the barley, and I'll meet ya there on the road to drunk sleep. Oh, Bridget O'Malley, you have my heart shaken with a hopeless desolation. I'll have you to know, it's the wonders of admiration your quiet face has taken, and your beauty will haunt me where I go.
Oh, yes.
After I do something that sad, I have to do something that's kind of lighthearted.
Okay.
And this is a song I've been singing for a while, and I thought, well, I should find out who wrote this. And I was expecting to hear that it was traditional. Mm-hmm. I was quite stunned to realize it was written by Buffy St. Marie.
Oh. Not bad.
But she did a good job of making it sound traditional.
Johnny be fair and Johnny be fine, and he wants me for to wed, and I would marry Johnny, but me father up and said, I'm bound to tell you, daughter, what your mother never knew. Johnny is a son of mine, and so is kin to you. Be fair and Billy be fine, and he wants me for to wed, and I would marry Billy, but me father up and said, I'm bound to tell you, daughter, what your mother never knew. Billy is a son of mine, and so is kin to you. Jimmy be fair and Jimmy be fine, and he wants me for to wed, and I would marry Jimmy, but me father up and said, I'm bound to tell you, daughter, what your mother never knew. Yes, Jimmy too is a son of mine, and so is kin to you. Well, you never saw a girl so sad and sorry as I was. The boys in town are all me kin, me father is the cause. If life should thus continue, I will die of singleness. So I'll go to me mother and complain to her of this. Ha! Daughter, didn't I tell you to forgive and to forget? Your father sowed his wild oats, but still you needn't fret. Your father may be a father to all the boys, but still, he's not the one that sired you, so marry who you will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, great. Now, who did the first song, the Bridget O'Malley song?
It's a traditional. A traditional one. I once told a great big lie to an audience. I told them it was written about my aunt, and that I just went in this big long tale until I finally said all of the men in the town had been committed to insane asylums or committed suicide, and they were still like sitting there nodding. And so I had to tell them I was lying, but it was. Yeah. Made for a fun story.
It is indeed. Yeah, you got to bring people along like that sometimes. Mm. Yeah.
Yes, I finally said, well, one thing was true. It was called Bridget O'Malley.
A bit of blarney there.
Yeah, we get a lot of that. I'm going to play you one of my songs. This is just a lighthearted, silly song. I was looking online for true love. Nobody wants baggage. And I wondered, How could you be over 2 years old and not have some baggage? Talk about baggage. My suitcases overflow. Went down to catch a train, but they wouldn't let me go. Said I have too much junk and left me standing in this funk. They told me to try again when I don't have so much crap. Told me to try again when I just have a backpack. Maybe a little carry-on. I'm standing here and the train is gone. Well, I could carry on quite well if they would just let me on board. Kick my bags once or twice and threw some at the door. Might not need all these bags in tow if I just had somewhere to go. So I threw out my suitcases by the twos and threes. Somewhere in the shuffle, well, I threw out my ID. Now I can't be identified, and that's the reason now that I can't write. So I'm standing here with nothing, and I'm no longer me. I'm not allowed to travel, and I'm not allowed to be. I see like me, you are not let on. If you know where to go, we could be gone. Well, we could help each other to remember who we are, even if we're missing our precious ID cards. Where we go, I don't really care. I think of you with me, we'll be somewhere.
Oh, lovely.
Well, thank you.
This is Cows Radio. Phone number in the studio, 874-1073. Area code 707. Hello to Indiana Frank and Judy out there in Indiana, funnily enough. And everyone else who's listening far and wide. We go way beyond West County, Sonoma. But, of course, our main audience is here because we're community radio. So, anyway, let's go back. Thank you for your patience, Marilyn.
No problem.
Go back to Marilyn O'Malley.
Well, thank you, and thanks for letting me be here this evening. I'm a long way from Klickitat County, Washington, but I just had to come down here. It's beautiful. I'm thinking about moving down here, actually.
Oh.
I'm going to sing a Scottish song. I learned this from the singing of the famous singer Jean Redpath. It's called Broom of the Cowdenknowes. And it dates back to the 17th century. How blithe each day was I to see my lass come o'er the hill. She skipped the burn and ran to me. I met her in goodwill. And the broom, the bonny, bonny broom, the broom of the Cowdenknowes. Fain would I be in the north country, heard in her father's ears. We neither herded ewes nor lambs, while the flock around us lay. She gathered in the sheep at night. And cheered me all the day. And the broom, the bonny, bonny broom, the broom of a Cowdenknowes. Fain heard in her father's youth. That I should banished be, Conway or hill and moor, because I love the fairest lass that ever yet was born, and the broom, the bonny, bonny broom, the broom of a cotton in the north country, heard in her father's hills. Adieu, ye countenances, adieu, farewell all pleasures there, to wander by again. 'Tis all I crave or care.
Oh, yes.
Could you get me some of those?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. So, how do you go about looking for the traditional songs that you play, apart from your own compositions?
Well, I've been doing this for years. Some of them I did grow up with them being played in my house, and then along the years, I'd hear somebody else play. I've actually picked up more songs from friends and other musicians than I have from albums or books. Or I might hear a song and really, really like it and then go find the words to it in the library or whatever. And nowadays you can look online.
Right. Who inspired you way at the beginning? Somebody just make you prick up your ears and say, I like that? Or was it something you gradually moved into?
Well, I started singing when I started talking, and then I some of the Irish music my dad would play on these old LPs kind of, really stuck in my head. And I went on to starting to do other music, including some original, when I was still really young. And then when my father was dying, when I was 28, I got worried that, what about those songs? I need to get them. And then there was one song in particular that I'll sing you in just a minute here, that I literally went to my father's deathbed and was like, there's this song, the melody's stuck in my head. Mm. How does it go? And I sang him a few lines. He goes, oh, yeah, that song. I said, how does it go? He said, I don't remember. And I said, well, what's it called? I could, go to the library. And he's like, I don't remember. And I was really sad because I thought, oh, this is just horrid, This song is so beautiful and I'll never know it. And then I decided that I should get him a tape of Irish music to listen to while he was laying in bed. And I didn't recognize the name of the song. It's called She Moved Through the Fair. But there it was. And so I learned it. And it's I think it's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And it's from a genre of Irish songs called Aisleans, which means fairy song. And I'm just going to take a sip of water here because I noticed in that last song a frog had gotten lodged in my throat.
They may be endangered species, but they're still around.
It's probably from Adrian's yard.
Yeah.
And I do this one a cappella in the Shauna style, not Shauna-na style. My young love said to me, my mother won't mind, and my father won't slight ya for your lack of kind. And then she went home. must are awake as the swan in the evening moves over the lake. She stepped away from me and she moved through the fair, and fondly I watched her move here and move there, and then she went homeward with one star awake as the swan in the evening moves over the lake. Last night she came to me, she came softly in, so softly came she that her feet met not in. She laid her hand on me, and this she did say, "It will not be long, love, till our wedding day."
Oh, lovely. Beautiful.
Thank you.
What made you pick up, when did you pick up the guitar and started playing that?
When I was 16, and then but I didn't progress very far. It was like I learned one picking pattern and about four chords, and I just stuck with that for about 20 years. And I'd let my guitar sit for months at a time. And then, you know, over the years, as life has gotten in my way, sometimes my guitar has sat around for a while. But this last year or so, I've been playing quite a bit of music again. I've been playing a lot with a man named Carl Smiley, who lives in Summit, Oregon. And in fact, we're going to be doing a concert in Summit, Oregon next week. But I don't really expect anyone down here to drive all the way up there. But
you never know.
You never know. Yeah. Well, if it's okay with you, I'll do one of my songs.
Yes.
Okay. This is a goofy song. Last night I wore my heart on my sleeve as I drug it through the soup. I pulled it out all hot and soggy, covered in noodles and goop. My left ventricle said to the right one, "This gal's a clumsy miss. Tell her to keep us off of her sleeve and put us back in her chest. 'Cause it can be messy to wear your heart on your sleeve, but sometimes it just has to ride there. I truly do believe." Then my superior vena cava told the inferior one, "I think writing on her sleeve is delightful. It's really much more fun." My aorta said, "We oughta just pump out this broth and retreat safely behind her sternum, at least when she tries to eat. 'Cause it can be messy to wear your heart on your sleeve, but sometimes it just has to ride there. I truly do believe." So my heart, it keeps on jumping from my chest out to my arm, and I always hear it thumping to the beat of a different drum. So if you join me for dinner, I hope you'll tell me, please, if I'm dipping my heart in the gravy as it hangs off my sleeve. 'Cause it can be messy to wear your heart on your sleeve, but sometimes it just has to ride there. I truly do believe that it can be messy to wear your
your heart on your sleeve. But sometimes it just has to rather, I truly do believe.
That's lovely, yeah. In that type of, you know, song, it's lovely what the imagery of that is, just super, really nice.
Thank you.
What do you get your inspiration from anywhere? Did you put your sleeve in the soup and you got inspiration, or did it? How do you do it?
Well, I consider myself to have an alternate cartoon universe running in my head at all times, and I usually censor any references to what's going on in my head, you know, because I don't want to be committed. But that one, I was talking, and I used the phrase, you know, walking around with my heart on my sleeve, and I suddenly thought, that's a pretty funny thought. So that's what inspired that.
Okay.
Should I keep going here?
Yeah. Now, do you normally tour in Oregon, Washington? Is that your main base?
Yeah, pretty much Oregon and Washington. Mm-hmm. I've been in a number of bands over the years. I was in several bands in Portland and one in Olympia, and for a while I was in an all-women sea shanty group called Broadside.
So, I like the name.
Yeah, and I've played at the Big Northwest Folklife Festival in Seattle in a number of capacities as a soloist, a songwriter, in Celtic groups, in the shanty group, and I don't know. This last year, a whole lot of songs kind of popped out of me after not writing for a while.
From a personal thing that happened, or just literally?
It just kind of felt like a switch just got turned on. Like I'd woken up. Like I'd been asleep a long time, and all of a sudden I woke up. But, you know, there wasn't any handsome prince that had bent down to kiss me or anything, so I don't know. I will sing you a more serious song that I wrote. I can tell you exactly what inspired this one. Watching the news, reading the newspaper, getting really upset that we are so bombarded with information and opinions, and you might hear someone rattling on about what needs to happen or what shouldn't have happened, and be agreeing with them, and then all of a sudden they say really weird stuff. Like, I know that the phrase Take Back America means something completely different to me than it does to the Tea Party people.
Right.
And I just got very frustrated about how, you know, I just feel like I don't know who to side with. You know, I've always been a liberal Democrat, and then sometimes I feel like, what are you doing? And so just kind of feeling like I didn't know where to turn, I didn't know who to believe, and I'd gladly go out there and put my energy into trying to fix something if I felt like I could trust anyone to tell me what to do.
Right.
This is called If I Only Knew. I cannot sleep, I dare not dream, I cannot cry, I want to scream, I lie awake, I toss and turn, I close my eyes, my longing burns. For a time when life could be simpler, and the truth was not denied, I would take to the streets if I only knew what street that street should be. Well, I would stand and be counted if I only knew who was doing the counting. I'd lay it all on the line if I only knew where that line was drawn. Give
my life for my country if I only knew where my country's gone. So dear America, where did you go? America, where did you go? America, I want to know. If our nation will survive this rampage of reckless greed, I would take to the streets if I only knew what street that street should be. Well, I would stand and be counted if I only knew who was doing the counting. I'd lay it all on the line if I only knew where that line was drawn. Give my life for my country if I only knew where my country's gone. Let freedom ring for the common folk, those corporate thugs, what an obscene joke. They send our kids to fight and die, the cause they give is just a lie. And now the rich can buy elections with the sanction of the court. I would take to the streets if I only knew what street that street should be. Well, I would stand and be counted if I only knew who was doing the counting. I'd lay it all on the line if I only knew where that line was drawn. Give my life for my country if I only knew where my country is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Thank you. Very nice. Nice sentiments there. Yeah, I'm so nice. Being British, I love tea, and they've taken away my ability to have a tea party anymore. I am very angry, I tell you.
Yeah.
But,
they stole our flag, and then they stole our tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Something wrong with that. Nobody's standing up to them, you know. Yeah. But obviously, those type of words and sentiments are very strong in folk music, obviously. It's a great way to get across, a statement.
Well, it is. And I kind of came to that conclusion after I wrote the song and I had been, lamenting about, I've joined various political groups over the years and, environmental groups, and I was just feeling like, it's not enough. It's not enough. I recycle, I write letters, I do this, I do that. It's not enough. What can I do? What can I do? And then I thought, I can write songs, throughout history that has been a pretty powerful medium.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that my muse is back with me, and that I'm going to be writing more.
Have you got any CDs out?
I don't, unfortunately. I am working on something, and I haven't decided what to call it. I was thinking about calling it Klickitat County, because I'm sure nobody has an album called Klickitat County. But then that doesn't really convey that I do Celtic music either. So I don't know.
But, yeah, maybe some combination, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that could almost be an Irish county.
It almost could, yeah.
Klickitat Celtic.
Klickitat Celtic, yeah, that'd be pretty funny, yeah. Yeah. In fact, speaking of music as a political or social change, this song actually dates back to the 1600s, and it is an early environmental disaster warning regarding the logging out of the great Irish oak forests. The Bonnie Portmore was the namesake tree for the Portmore estate, and apparently it was just this gigantic oak that people could see from far away. And so someone wrote about its destruction as kind of the symbol about... It's pretty amazing to think that long ago, forests were being destroyed.
Yeah.
When I was in Ireland, I was driving around, and I passed this area, and I just thought, I know there were trees here. There wasn't really any evidence. I mean, there was barely even any depression on the ground or anything, but I just looked at this hill. It was like I could feel that there had been trees there long, long time ago. And turned out, you know, there really had been.
They were.
Bonnie Portmore, I am sorry to see such woeful destruction of your ornament trees. For it stood on your shore for many is the long day, till the long boats from Antrim came and floated it away. Oh, Bonnie Portmore, you shine where you stand, and the more I think on you, the more I think long. For if I had you now as I had once before, all the lords of old England could not purchase Portmore. The birds in the forest do bitterly weep, saying, where shall we shelter and where shall we sleep? For the oak and the ash, they are all cut and down, and the walls of Bonnie Portmore are all down to the ground. Oh, Bonnie Portmore, you shine where you stand, and the more I think on ya, the more I think long. For if I had you now, I had once before, all the lords of old England would not purchase Portmore.
Really very prescient words, definitely.
Yeah.
And still to this day, just here in our local Bohemian Grove, if you know about that, just a couple of miles from here, where all the high and mighty come once a year in the summer to frolic. They want to cut down 1,000-year-old redwoods and, you know, just spread toxins everywhere. It just keeps going.
They're insane. You know? I mean, they really are insane. They're not just greedy. They are completely insane. Yeah.
It is. You know, 5% of the redwood forest is left of what there was originally. I mean, how much is enough? I mean,
right.
I mean, it's just until it's gone. Well, I think Easter Island was one of those examples where they literally chopped down every tree till they killed themselves off. I mean,
crazy.
You know, isn't that assigned to us.
Yes, it really is.
In New Zealand, they chopped down their ancient trees, the kauri trees, and sold them overseas for firewood.
Mm. Oh, firewood. Overseas. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it's a sad indictment. Really.
Nobody's immune.
No, oh exactly. Wherever you are. No. This is Arnoldo, your host of Tommy's Holiday Camp, every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. We have Marilyn O'Malley, who has come into the studio and playing some just beautiful songs. Really appreciate you coming in and playing them. And at 9 o'clock, we'll have Miss Annie coming in with her soul and R&B show. So stick around for that. It will be great. If you want to, I will be putting this and my interview earlier on my website in a couple of days. So you can listen in at www.tommysholidaycamp.com. And you can listen to this again, if you like, on download it even to your computer. So phone number of the studio, 874-1073. So Marilyn, yeah, we'd like to play another one.
Yes. In fact, after all that downer talk about how we're going to hell in a panbasket, I think I'm going to sing something a little lighter. Get back into the Celtic genre. I really don't know when this was written. I think that this is more of an author unknown than a traditional. I guess it was first recorded by Jackie Armstrong, who said she learned it from somebody named Lloyd. And I don't know if Lloyd wrote it or what, but I think it's quite clever. And I learned it from my friend Mary Benson, who I've been in. I was in a band called Sheer Audacity with her, and in a band called Bridget's Fire, and in Broadside, and... I will dedicate this to Mary. Jack was a sailor from London, came down, did bite off his ship in old Liverpool town. They asked him his name and he answered them quite, "I belong to a family called Nine Times a Night." A buxom young widow who still wore her weeds, whose husband had left her his riches and deeds. Resolved she was by her conjugal right to ease her full sorrow with nine times a night. So she called to her serving maids Nan and Amelia to keep their eyes wide for this wonderful sailor. If he should happen to cross in their sight, to bring her fond tidings of nine times a night. Fortune favored the joke on the very next day. Those two giggling girls saw Jack coming their way. Upstairs they ran in amorous delight. "Upon my word, madam, here's nine times a night." She arose from her chair, "What I tell ya is true," and down through the hallway like lightning she flew. She looked him all over and gave him a smack. The bargain was struck, no more sailing for Jack. The wedding being over, the bride told the bell. Jack did it six times and he pleased her right well. She vowed from her heart she was satisfied quite, still she gave sly hints about nine times a night. Jack said, "My dear bride, you mistook me quite wrong. I said to that family that I do belong. But nine times a night is too much for a man. I can do it myself, but my sister, she can." Why, thank you.
you.
Oh, that's fabulous. So, who do you admire as fellow singer and musicians?
Oh, you know, there's so many. There's so many. Roseanne Cash. Years ago, there was a band called Still I Span that I thought they did an excellent job of rocking out Celtic without losing the genre. And I think that's a rare thing. For a while, I was reviewing Celtic music for a magazine that was called Reed and Chanter. So I got all kinds of CDs sent to me. And there were all kinds of musicians out there trying to rock out Celtic and throw in everything but the kitchen sink. You know, oh, here's Celtic music with saxophones and, you know, whatever. And I just thought Still I Span really did a remarkable job of maintaining the feeling of the music while rocking it out.
I love them, often play them.
Yeah. I guess that was Maddie Pryor.
Maddie Pryor, of course, yes.
And there's another woman whose name is escaping me. And then Jean Redpath and, folk singers from the 60s and songwriters from the 60s, you know, Joni Mitchell, whatever, but although I've never tried to write a Joni Mitchell type song, but
who can?
Yeah,
except Joni.
Yeah. But I do tend to pay a lot of attention to just people I run into that are doing original music, people that nobody's heard of, and they're just these marvelous gems that are sitting undiscovered. I like that.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Well, that's what amazes me is that how much quality music and musicians there are out there we never get to hear.
I know.
That's the sad thing about it all.
Yeah. In fact, Joni Mitchell had a song that I think was called Playing Real Good for Free. And it's about, wasn't it a clarinet player, I think, that was playing on the street and just playing for free. Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to do one more song for you.
Okay. Oh,
does that work?
5-2. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. This is one that I wrote. It's called the Pancake Song, but it's not really about pancakes. It's about a husband with no clue, and we won't discuss what actually inspired the writing of it because it might be obvious. Let's see. Sadie was a lady who loved a man. She made him pancakes every Sunday on a cast iron pan. It was a way to say she loved him right from the start. Pancakes poured out straight from the heart to sizzle on the griddle that Grandma used to tell Grandpa that she loved him true. When Charlie asked for coffee, it was gladly poured to let him know that he was adored. She even warmed the syrup and made apricot jam, 'cause Sadie was a lady who loved that man. But Charlie never did understand. Charlie never did understand. The love of a woman can come in buttermilk or buckwheat, whole grain with raisins or raspberry sweet. The love of a woman can be potato or banana, it can be anything, but taken for granted. When Sunday as Charlie sat reading the funnies, Sadie was pouring in some fresh clover honey from a blueberry batter from Grandma's cookbook. When Charlie dropped the paper and he gave her a look, he said, "This coffee tastes burnt. What's that smell? You know I don't like blueberries very well. So why are you putting them in my food? When you do things I don't like, it ruins my mood." Still she warmed the syrup and flipped pancakes on the pan, 'cause Sadie was a lady who loved her man. But Charlie never did understand. Charlie never did understand. The love of a woman
can come and buttermilk a buckwheat, whole grain with raisins or raspberries sweet. The love of a woman can be potato or banana, it can be anything, but taken for granted. The next Sunday, Charlie was eating pancakes again when he said the edge of one was singed. He said she really needed to be more cautious about burning things up, cause it made him nauseous. Sadie looked up and said she thought it was cruel for him to criticize her, make her feel like a fool. He said if she was gonna cook, she ought to do it right. And he really didn't like it when she tried to start a fight. Sadie threw the bowl and then the cast iron pan, cause Sadie was a lady fed up with that man. But Charlie never did understand. Charlie never did understand. The love of a woman can come in buttermilk or buckwheat, whole grain with raisins or raspberry sweet. Of a woman could be potato or banana, it can be anything, but taken for granted. Now Sadie owns a restaurant called the Pancake Queen. Nobody there is allowed to act mean. Charlie eats cold cereal every day of the week. Sunday's just another day, lonely and bleak. He makes his own coffee and pours his own cup, wondering why Sadie went and messed things up. Nobody warms his syrup or makes apricot jam, cause Sadie is a lady and he's not a man. But Charlie never did understand. Charlie never did understand. The love of a woman can come in buttermilk or buckwheat, whole grain with raisins or raspberry sweet. The love of a woman can be potato or banana, it can be anything, anything, but taken for granted.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Arnaldo, for having me on your show.
Oh, you're most welcome. Marilyn O'Malley, thank you so much. That was just delightful. And I hope when you come down to visit again, Adrian, you can pop in the studio again.
Okay.
That would be fabulous.
I'll just say real quick, Adrian is making a website for me.
Ah, that's yes.
www.hawthornquest.net. And Hawthorne does not have an E on the end of it. It's just HAWTHORNQUEST.net.
Oh, fantastic. Right. Hawthorne, any reason why?
I've been reforesting a cow pasture in a place where hawthorn is one of the native trees. And the hawthorn has a usable wood. It's very hard. You can use it to make natural fencing. And it gets little red berries that are good for your heart, and it gets pretty little white flowers. So I like hawthorns.
Very good choice. I love them myself. I used to play in them when I was young.
I bet. Okay. Well, thank you, Arnaldo.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.